Some of us are later than that, but we believe it's an individual experience. And so we're praying that one day little Sadie Mae will come to a place where she trusts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And so all the pressure's on the mom and dad today. That's what we do, baby dedication. It's not really a baby dedication. It's the parents coming to a place where they're going to make some commitments to do their best to raise their child and one day come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But we see the ideal of baby dedication early on in Scripture. We even know that Jesus' parents, Joseph and Mary, took Jesus to the temple and had him dedicated, presented him to the Lord. And so this morning, in a few minutes, Brent and Tamara will publicly say before you that we're going to do our best under the leadership of the Holy Spirit with God's help to do our best to live the kind of life in front of Sadie and their other four children that one day that she had come to know Christ as her Lord and Savior. So what we're doing this morning has nothing to do with salvation, but it's very important because it's a promise that we make as parents to do our best to raise our kids the way God wants them raised. If you'll turn with me to Mark chapter 10, we'll see a place here in Scripture where parents were bringing their children to the Lord. Mark chapter 10, and we'll start reading in verse 13. It says, one day some parents brought their children to Jesus so he could touch and bless them. But the disciples scolded the parents for bothering Jesus. Again, that was a custom of the day to bring your children to the priest or to the rabbi or to the teacher and have them lay hands on your child and bless them. These parents began to do that. They're bringing their children to Jesus, and the disciples thought that they were bothering Jesus. That's the word that the New Living Translation uses. It uses that word, bothered. The disciples didn't get it. They didn't understand what was going on. They're trying to get them to leave Jesus alone. And Jesus, aren't you glad he's not bothered by us when we come to him? He wasn't bothered by them coming to him. He wanted them to bring them to him. In fact, Mark chapter 10, verse 14 says, when Jesus saw what was happening, he was angry with the disciples, not with the children. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. And then he says, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child, Jesus said, he will never enter it. And so he encouraged the parents to bring the children to him. And I believe it was a powerful visual lesson for these disciples to see as Jesus began to look these children in the eye, to touch them, to bless them. I put some pictures up here. I just love the reactions, and you can't see it from where you are, but you see Jesus in that one picture, very modern-day picture of what they thought Jesus would look like. As he's looking at that kid in the face, hanging on to every word that child is saying, that middle picture there of Jesus just kind of looking in the eye, smiling. And that last picture there where Jesus is bringing those children in close, and as they're looking, I bet Jesus loved to love on kids. In church, we ought to love on kids. And I'm grateful for all of you that do that. And I think that's the ideal of what's happening this morning, is we're doing our best with God's help to bring our child, to bring this precious little baby to Jesus. And we want God to bless her. We want God to bless our kids. But we understand that he is the one that calls them to himself. We acknowledge our responsibility, the part that we play, that we've got to role model it, we've got to live it, we've got to share it, we've got to talk it, we've got to believe it in front of the child, but it's ultimately the child's decision to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, but it's our responsibility to live the life in front of them. And so Jesus not only shows his love for children, but he uses this time, I believe, to teach the disciples an important lesson about what it means to know him. He says in verse 15, I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child, they'll never enter the kingdom. There's just some qualities that we see in children that we tend to lose. In fact, I read an article this week that said most of us are born with these qualities that we're going to talk about in just a few minutes. But the lessons that the world, and I wrote out in the margin, this evil world shows us, we begin to lose those qualities. We begin to lose those characteristics because of the way the world is and the way the world treats us. And so this morning, I want us just to talk about three qualities that I believe that every one of us ought to have as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. And the first quality is simply this, is it's dependence. God wants us to look to him and to depend on him, not only to save us, but to meet the needs that we have in our life. He wants us to be dependent upon him. And one thing I don't think that any baby has to be taught to do. You look at a baby, you look at a little child, a baby never has to be taught to depend on his parents, do they? It's just something they're born with. They can't help but be dependent. Little Sadie, I'm looking at her. There's nothing she can do by herself. She's completely dependent upon Brent and Tamara. I remember the first time when we brought our first son home, Brian. And I remember he's up in the bed with us, and I remember doing it vividly with James. I remember doing it with all of our kids, where you would just lay there and look at them. And every now and then they're looking back at you. And you're thinking to myself, goodness gracious, I'm a dad. This kid depends on me for everything. And it's a precious moment until that little booger starts crying. And then you reach over and kick your wife and say, make them stop. But they're dependent upon us for everything that they need. And it's a privilege. And I hope that you can remember all of those experiences that you had with your children. And this week, here's the thing that hit me, is that God knew exactly what he was doing when he sent our five kids home with us. He knew what he was doing when he did that. Brent and Tamara, God knew what he was doing when he sent Sadie home with y'all. He could have picked anybody else, but he chose us to raise the kids that he's placed into our life. He chose us to feed them, to clean them, to comfort them, to love on them. They depend on us. But watch this. That's exactly the way God wants us to depend on him. He wants us to depend on him like that. He wants us to allow him to do all of those things for us that we can't do for ourselves. He loves us that much. He wants us to depend on him, to meet our needs. I started singing it this morning, and I don't know why the song came to my mind other than it's just a great song. But you remember it. Most of you will remember it. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind and true. And Jesus loves us, and he wants us to depend on him. He is not bothered by us when we depend on him. That's what he wants. He wants us to depend on him. Several things that we can depend on him for, and that probably wasn't real good English, but you know what I mean. He wants us to depend on him for strength. Scripture says, God is our refuge and our strength. He's always ready to help in our times of trouble. In Philippians 4:13, you know it, for God, I can do everything through Christ who is my strength. God wants us to depend on him. He'll provide that strength for us in those times when we don't have any strength left. But we have to depend on him. Most of the time, I can tell you, I can look back in my life, and the times that Jesus didn't come in and give me strength, you know why he didn't do it? Because I wouldn't depend on him to do it. I'm trying to do it on my own. And I got myself wore out before. Why do we do that? We wear ourselves out before we'll come to the place where we'll say, Lord, I can't do this. I need you to do this. I need you to be my strength. Second thing that Jesus, we can depend on him for, is wisdom. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he'll give it to you. Watch this. And he will not rebuke you for asking. You're not a bother to him when you come to him and say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know. I need your wisdom. I need your understanding. I need your strength. And what I find in my own life is when I come to him for his wisdom, then I begin to line up my life more in line with what he wants than what I want. His wisdom is just like that. We can come to him for protection. I think it's Psalms 121 is the verse that I have on the screen for you when we look at protection. And it says, I look to the mountains. Does my help come from there? No. David says, my help comes from the one who made the mountains. I can't read that one. I got to look back here. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He'll not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not sleep. Indeed, he who watches over you or watches over Israel never sleeps and he never slumbers. I thought about those times in our life when our kids were sick. And guess what you do? Mom, you got first watch. Dad takes second watch or whatever it is. But we don't sleep when our kids are trusting on us. And we finally get to a place where they're okay that we both can go to sleep because we need it. But guess what? Jesus doesn't need to sleep, nor does he sleep. He's constantly watching out. He's constantly protecting, watching over us. And then the last one is provision. Same passage of Scripture back into Philippians 4:19. He says, and the same God who takes care of me, Paul talking, will supply all of your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. He'll provide all of our needs. And God has been so faithful to do that in our life. And just like a child depends on his parents to be there, to do what they need, God will do that for us. He will meet all of our needs. And I need to be reminded, I think sometimes we need to be reminded that there's not a situation, there's not a circumstance that takes place in your life that slips by God. He's not caught off guard by anything that's going on in your life. He knows about it. And he stands ready to meet the need. And he will meet the need. And I guess I'm okay by saying it this way. He'll meet the need if we depend on him. He'll let me struggle along all I want to, try to do it by myself. But when you finally come to that place where you say, I can't do this, God always meets the need. He wants to do that. He wants us to be dependent upon him. The second quality we look at this quickly is the word trust. That God wants us to trust him. And trust is a little bit different than the word dependent. Dependence is more acknowledging that God is going to do that. Trust is that place where we begin to just move in that direction, where we know he's going to do what it is he's wanting to do in our life, where he's what he's called to do in our life. It's following where he leads. It's going where he says to go. It's doing what he tells us to do. That's trust. Because we know he's going to do it. And I think this is a hard one for us at times. It's hard for us to trust God. But I love how little kids just trust. They just do it. Let me give you an example of it. I don't know which one it was, but I set him up on top of the refrigerator, one of my boys, Brian and Clinton. And then I said, jump. Guess what they do most of the time? They just jump. They don't know any better. They don't look around to see what's... Or take him to the deep end of the pool. Clinton. Deep end of the pool. And say, jump, I'll catch you. They don't look around for somebody else. They just jump. They trust that way. And church, that's exactly the way God wants us to trust him. He don't want us to look around to see what's going on. Don't want us to check out the circumstances. He just wants us to do what he tells us to do. He just wants us to jump, like those little crazy kids will do. They'll just jump. Some things that we we need to understand. Number one is this. Is Jesus is always there for us. We need to trust that. He's always there. We just read, He never sleeps, He never slumbers. He's always there. I never was the brightest kid in the coloring box, but you know what? When my dad told me to jump, I just jumped. And you can't look at my dad now, but there was a time I've looked at some of the pictures where he had hair. He was bowed up a little bit. His arms were huge to me. And I was just crazy enough to jump into those arms when he said to jump. We need to do that with our Heavenly Father as well. We just need to jump because He tells us to jump. He'll bless those who are willing to jump. And I said, and jump in with both feet when He calls us to. Because He's big enough to catch us. He's big enough to never drop us or to lose us when it comes to our salvation. He'll never leave. He'll never forsake. Even when it feels like we're going under, He's always there. We can trust Him. And the second thing, we can trust Him that He's working in our life. It doesn't take long, does it, to realize that life just doesn't make sense sometimes. But what's God's promise to us? That He's constantly at work, working things out for our good. For those who are called according to His purpose. That's what Paul said. That God's at work. He's always at work. And we can trust Him in that. There's another verse. I believe it's Hebrews 10:23. A great one that we need to memorize. And it says, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promises. And go ahead and put the next two slides up, Ricky. We don't have time to go through all of them. I hope that you can read them. But I just started thinking about some things that we could trust when it comes to God, that He's wise, He's sovereign, He's never failed, He's always good. He always loves us. He'll never forsake us. This is not by any means, any stretch, an exhaustive list. You probably could add some things to this list that you can trust God for. God wants us to trust Him. So will you trust Him today? And then let's look at the last word. The word is persistence. This is probably the funniest one I think of when I think of the qualities in the children, that they're persistent. And here's what it looks like. Let me show you the first one. Remember the last time you took a four-year-old to the grocery store? What do they want? One of everything as you're walking down the aisle. And you ain't even got to the toy aisle yet. You ain't even made it to the candy aisle yet. But they want one of everything. Do they quit? Most of the time, no. They just keep on. Look at the second thing. Think back to the time when your child wanted your attention when you were talking to another adult. They're yanking, they're pulling, they're hollering, they're patting, they're saying, hey, hey, hey. They want you to know that they're there. They're persistent. How about this one? Have you ever told a child they could do something in a minute, or they could have something in a minute, or they could play Minecraft in a minute? What do they do? Is it time yet? Is it time yet? Is it time? And they'll ask 985 times, is it time yet? Can I do it now? When can I do it? Can I do it now? Now it's time. They're persistent. They never, ever give up. Or let a baby be hungry. And mamas and daddies, you know the difference between a hungry cry and I just want you to pick me up, I just need your attention cry, right? You know the difference. You can't do nothing for 20 minutes when that baby's hungry. Why? They're going to cry. They're going to let you know, and they don't quit crying. They're persistent in what they do. And it's real easy for us to say, you know, those are negative behaviors. But I beg to differ with you. God wants us to be persistent in our relationship with Him, doesn't He? Turn to Mark chapter... No, you're already in Mark. Turn to Luke chapter 18. Some of you may already know the story that we're fixing to look at. But look at Luke chapter 18 and start reading with me with verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1 says, one day Jesus told His disciples a story to show how they should pray and never give up. Verse 2 says, there was a judge in a certain city, and he said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. And a widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out in her constant request. Verse 6, then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. But when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? God never wants us to give up. He never wants us to stop coming to him. He never wants us to stop seeking him. He wants us to be persistent. And I wonder how many times in my own personal life did I stop just one time short? Did I just quit praying and asking for that thing one time short? God wants us to be persistent. That God wants us to keep praying. He wants us to keep praying for our wayward children. He wants us to keep praying for that son or daughter that just not where they need to be yet. He doesn't want us to give up. He doesn't want us to quit. He wants us to keep praying for a change of heart. He wants us to keep praying that God would move on their behalf. He never wants us to quit. Church, God wants us to continue to pray for his plans for our church. He wants us to keep seeking him. Stop trying to come up with stuff that we want to do. Start seeking his plans and what he wants for the life of this church. And I pray that as a church member that you'll persistently approach God and ask his favor and ask his blessings on us as a church as we seek to do what he's called us to do. I pray that you would use our prayer list that we give out. We come up with an exhaustive list every Wednesday night. Use that as a tool to pray for folks in our church that are hurting, that have needs. Be persistent in praying for Brent and Tamara. Be persistent in praying for other families in our church that you know stuff is going on in their life and in the life of their family. Be persistent in praying for them. I think that's the greatest gift that we can give to our kids, isn't it? Is to pray for them. I know in some of my kids' stuff, that's all I can do. Because I don't have it, the finances to give anymore. Don't have the resources to give anymore. Really don't have time to go stop everything and run. All we can do is pray. Pray that God would bless and help and do what he does only the way he can do it. It's a privilege to be involved in the life of a child. I'm so grateful for all of you who teach Sunday school, who work in our nursery, who help with Vacation Bible School, who help with our students upstairs and our teenagers and are involved in Cab Kids. I'm so grateful that you're persistently doing what God's called you to do in the life of the children of our church. I think we learn a lot from kids. We learn about dependence and trust and persistence. Church, we should never, ever let other family members in our church carry all of their stuff all by themselves. We got to come alongside. We got to love and encourage and help and pray anytime that we can. Because I believe as a church, it's our responsibility, not just for boys and girls, but for every person that walks in our door, it's our responsibility to show them who Jesus is. It's our responsibility to love on them and encourage them in any way that we can. And I pray that you'll help me to do that. Help us to do that as a church and as a family. I'm going to ask if Brent and Tamara, if you would come up here just for a few minutes. Before we do our invitation, we want to do this time of baby dedication. He's having a hard time. I want to do this a little bit different. We've done it a certain way several times. Oh, her eyes are open. But I want to do it individually. Brent, I want to ask you just a couple of things first to share a couple of things with you. I want you to know that as a dad and a father, you understand it's your responsibility to not just provide physically for your family, but it's your job to provide the spiritual needs, the emotional needs, all of those things as a dad. You get a responsibility of leading, of correcting, of teaching, of encouraging. All of those things fall on you as the spiritual head of your family. And so I just ask you this morning, would you, being completely dependent upon God, being completely trusting upon Him, being persistent in your relationship with Him, do you accept those challenges as a young dad?
Yes.
Amen. Glad. Tamara, there's going to be lots of times in your life when you're the face of Jesus for Sadie. She's going to trust you to encourage. She's going to trust on you to be caring. She's going to trust you to meet those needs. She's going to trust you to support, to hold, to do what you're doing right now. You're the person that's going to do that a lot of times in her life. And in what you say, what you do, how you say it, how we act, all of those things reflect Jesus to her. And that's an awesome responsibility for us as parents, isn't it? And so, Tamron, I would ask you, will you accept the challenge with God's help to be the mom that God's called you to be? Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you're a family, immediate family, blood family, in-law, outlaws, all that kind of good stuff, if you're family to Brent and Tamara, would you please stand? Cousins and brothers and sisters, that's right. And then I'm going to ask, if you're just friends with, and that means everybody else, if you're friends with Brent and Tamara, church family, those kind of folks, would you stand? Because I think that we play a part in this relationship, and it kind of goes like this. You're the folks that are standing, Brent, Tamara, you look around. We're the safety net, so to speak, sometimes that Brent and Tamara is going to need in raising baby Sadie. In times of trouble, we're going to be the folks that they come to. We're going to be the folks that they depend on. We're going to be the folks that can be that added strength, that propping them up a little bit when they need it. You're going to be the nursery workers. You're going to be the Sunday school teachers. You're going to be the babysitters. You're going to be the ones, wink, wink, that are going to give the baby Sadie what she not necessarily needs, but what you want her to have when mom and dad, you know what, grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. We're going to be those folks in her life. We're going to be the folks that are going to babysit and just help. We need to be the folks that help Brent and Tamara and baby Sadie be dependent upon God, to be persistent in our coming to Him and trust Him. And so as a church family, as family, if you'd be willing to make that commitment to Brent and Tamara, would you say amen? And that's all of us. Brent and Tamara, we want to present this little token of our love and appreciation for you, and so grateful to be your pastor. Let me pray with you real quick. God, I thank you so much for this family. I thank you for what they do for the life of this church and for what they do in their own family. I thank you that they do consistently depend on you. They trust you. They're persistent in their relationship with you. And grateful that Tamara works with our Kingdom Kids and such a great support and leader there. I thank you for Brent and Tamara in their stepping in those times where we needed someone to work with our students, and we thank you for the great job that they've done there. Just thank you so much that they're actively involved in the life of this church. I'm grateful for their trust in you and how they depend on you and how they persistently come to you. We love them so much. Thank you so much for baby Sadie. We thank you for this family that she has been born into, and God, that's not an accident. You did that on purpose. And so, God, I pray that you would bless them today in a very special way. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Maybe this morning, what the Holy Spirit has just kind of said to our hearts is, and our dependent upon Him and our trusting in Him and our persistent seeking Him and our relationship with Him, maybe this morning you'd say, I'm kind of weak in one of those areas. I need to do a better job of depending. I needed to do a better job of trusting. I need to do a better job of continually coming and asking and being persistent and pursuing my relationship with Him. this altar will be open for you if you need to come and pray about any one of those things. Maybe this morning you realize, as I do, as most of us here do, we don't believe that you're here by accident. And this morning you heard about salvation and what salvation's all about. And maybe you've never trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to do that today. I'd love to share with you how you can personally know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So would you come in just a few minutes? I'm going to ask you to stand. Monica and our praise team is going to lead us in a time of invitation. Would you respond as the Lord leads? Let's stand together and we'll sing.